Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 152, stanzas 1 and 3 through 5. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word, so rich and free. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 152.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Ephesians, and thereof chapter 6. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according in the flesh, to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou bringest us together once again in thy holy house of prayer. Give us also utterance, and that we may speak boldly as we ought to speak, and when we speak in thy name. For it is a mystery which we are called to proclaim, and it is experienced as a mystery to those who cannot uphold themselves, who cannot do what their heart delights to do. By that power of that new birth, when thou dost come with thy spirit and make a new man and give us a new heart and give us new desires, and that we want to love thee and we want to serve thee, or we want to cease from sin, but we are not able to do it, and then it is such a mystery unto us, and then it is so discouraging so often. But Lord, wilt thou open the eyes of such for thyself, and the mystery of thy free and thy sovereign grace, that we may be given to know it, to see it, to experience it, and to rejoice in it. Lord, thou knowest each and every one of us, and we are all cut from that same cloth, being conceived and born in sin, even from our father and covenant head, Adam. And thou knowest all the relation, we have heard it out of thy holy word. Then children need to be told to be subject to their fathers and to their mothers. And servants need to be told to be subject to their masters. And citizens need to be told to be subject to their magistrate. Because there is in our heart that which did come in the heart of our father Adam, all rebellion against thee, rebellion against authority, and we don't want to take our rightful place, and we want to be God ourselves. Lord, we need to be born again. We need thy spirit within us to renew us unto a new life. A new life that may come in true humility before thee, that we may come in the dust of self-abasement before thee, and that we may bring our selves and our loved ones to thy blessed footstool. Oh, come then in this day and do for us what we are not able to do for ourselves. And give us that life that never dies, that spiritual life that hungers and no longer for all the riches and glory that can be found in this world that is no glory and that are no riches, but that hungers and thirsts after the treasures which are above, where Christ does sit at the right hand of his Father. Lord, that thou may come to us and our dear children, and work in our youth, and that in the days of their youth and childhood, the tender fear of thy name may be placed in their heart, that they may desire to flee from all iniquity, that they may see in the days of their youth that life is so short, that it is so very uncertain, that there is nothing to be found here below that can satisfy their heart, or that they may be given to long, to hunger and to thirst and to desire for that spiritual meat and drink. Lord, that they may love thee, that they may flee from sin, that thou may put an awe in their hearts for thee, and that thou may draw each and every one, also all the parents and all that are become older. Lord, thou knowest each and every heart. We all need to become like a child. Oh, thou sayest that we must be born again, but that wind bloweth where it listeth, and we cannot, we hear the sound thereof, but we cannot tell. and whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Lord, could we yet hear the sound thereof of thy Spirit, even in this hour, that it may go from pew to pew, from heart to heart, and then that sound will be heard in the midst of our flock. That a sound of weeping, that sound of mourning, that sound of singing. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Build up thy Zion in the midst of us. Take reasons out of thyself and thy dear and only begotten Son, to give unto him a heritage, an inheritance that thou hast promised unto him, for all that he has accomplished in that suffering and that death upon that cursed tree. A great work, O Lord, a self-sacrifice, and he is ever worthy to receive a great reward. In the multitude of subjects is the honor of the King, Lord, that thou may gather us then each and every one. Remember all the needs and the cares in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, thou knowest all the sick and the afflicted, those that we even do not know of, the troubles, the trials, the cares in the midst of this life. Be with all that suffer from serious diseases. And when there have been accidents, and when there are those in the hospital, and when there are those that have needs that are hidden from others, and wilt thou be near to bless the means in the first place, and that thou may sanctify the calling, and that it may come with power in the heart, and that thou may use doctors, nurses, that thou may use all these callings for the good of the soul. Wilt thou remember all that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this world, where thy word is not, where it has never come. Bring thy word to places where men have never heard, that they may receive also that opportunity, and that thou mayest have thine elect, even in places that we know not of, that thy Spirit may also bless and sanctify thy word in such places, and especially where there are those that do suffer under persecutions. Wilt thou give strength and courage, and wilt thou help and bless the means also unto those to whom that word comes. Wilt thou be with a couple who hopes to be united in this week in our sister congregation in the bond of holy matrimony? Wilt thou remember them when they will begin to walk the path of this life together? Lord, thou knowest all that can come against it, but wilt thou give to them a place together at thy footstool, and that thou may guide them, and that thou may be near unto them in thy mercy. Do remember all those that have difficulties and cares, those that do suffer from addictions, those that are in hospitals and institutions. Wilt thou be near unto them and bless also those means? Wilt thou care for our denomination in thy mercy? Also, when we have been in this past week where a congregation has been instituted, Lord, that thou may also give thy word in that place to prosper, and that they may receive also a servant of thee in thy time to go in and out amongst them. Wilt thou call more men into thy service to do that most noble and impossible work which thou dost always help with when thou dost call, that thou may give men truly converted and called by thee, thrust them forth. to go to both mission field and establish congregations. Remember those that do labor upon our mission field. Wilt thou keep watch over, protect, and be near unto them, and bless also their labors in that place. Remember our school. Bless the teachers, principals, and all that labor therein. And bless the labors for the welfare of our rising generation. Look upon us also in this hour. Lord, we beseech thee for thy help, for thy blessing. We beseech thee for thy presence, for without thee we can do nothing. And when it will remain but the words of a man, they cannot penetrate into the heart of a man. But thy word, by the power of thy most Holy Spirit, is able to raise a man from the dead, wherein that we are by nature, with no desire for thee, with no ability to believe, with no inclination to obey thee, with nothing but a form of religion, as so to come into thy holy place our whole life, and then to die and to be buried as a wicked man. O Lord, wilt thou have mercy upon us, and wilt thou look upon us in this hour to favor us, that it may be the moment and the hour of thy good pleasure, when we are come under thy holy word, that we may receive utterance and a mouth to speak, and that the mystery of thy free salvation may be revealed to sinful and burdened souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 414, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay, and day by day and distress me. And what follows in the first three stanzas of Psalter 414.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prayed for his church. Not that his Father would take them out of the world, but that he would keep them from the evil of the world. As long as the church is here in the world, they need to be kept from the evil. Why is that? Because as long as they are in the world, they are not yet delivered completely from sin. If they were, what would there be to draw them, their heart, out of this world? Because this world would be then for them as in heaven upon the earth, a utopia. But the Apostle Paul spoke about a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Would you say that too, young people? Far better to depart? Paul could say that. And what made that far better for him? Well, he said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What was that gain? Well, that gain was that he would be finished with sin. That gain was that he would lay down a body of sin and death that is sown in corruption and that will be raised in incorruption. That will be the church triumphant. Oh, how many of us desire to be part of that church triumphant. How many of us desire to be delivered from sin? Because if we will ever be part of the church triumphant, then it is necessary first to enter into that church militant. If sin never becomes our burden, if sin never becomes our enemy, if sin never becomes our grief, why would we want to be delivered from it? If it is only that which our heart goes after, then what need and what desire of ours would be the same as the Apostle Paul's? But David felt that so different. We sing that sometimes. All thy precepts are most righteous. We sing, hating sin, to these I hold. Does that ever enter your heart, boys and girls? Hating sin, I hold to the commandments, I hold to the precepts of that word of God. Such a language of the heart, not just of our mouth, such a language of our heart is pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows all that is living in our heart and all that is coming against the choice of the new life. Our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, the 4th chapter, and thereof the 4th verse. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. So far the words of our text. Christ commends his church in her warfare. First the armory. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory. Second, the 1,000 bucklers, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Christ commends his church in her warfare, first the armory, and second the 1,000 bucklers. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory. Thus the neck is now the sixth aspect that we have been considering, wherein Christ is commending his bride. He has commended her for her eyes and for her hair and for her teeth and for her lips and for her temples. And now we read that her neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory. Thus he compares the neck to an armory. What is an armory? An armory is where the arms are kept in store for the military. Very, very important. The arms, very highly valued and very closely protected and kept. The armory. In times of peace, we don't see that maybe so clearly. Maybe we do not want to spend so much on the armory. But the value of the armory becomes ever more evident and clear to us as soon as there is an enemy, as soon as there is a threat, then we are very glad there is an armory. Thus preparation for defense is a biblical concept. Solomon says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. It is not wise if we will leave all of our preparations until the enemy is standing at our gate, till that enemy is standing at our door. Then we say it is too late already. Do we also do that with our own soul? Do we leave our preparations to the time of our old age? To the time, boys and girls, when you will not have so much strength anymore? To the time, young people, when your mind will no longer able to be, to focus anymore, to think maybe anymore, when our eyes do fail, we cannot see anymore, when we cannot read anymore, and then we are going to begin to prepare. That is foolish. But do we believe that that is foolish? Because that is now something we believe and see in our mind. The Bible says that we have another secret in our heart. And the secret in our heart is the way we live. The secret in our heart is that our dwelling places, they shall continue to all generations. And thus we are leaving our preparations, and Christ is commending his church for keeping an armory, for laying up arms in store. So he commends her for her readiness, and he commends her for doing that in a time of peace, because that is an evidence of faith. In evidence that she believes something, that she believes reality, that she believes there is an enemy, and that she believes that that enemy will overtake her without preparation. Thus, the church is given by Christ a great treasure. And when we maintain an armory, then the church does exhibit, does manifest the value that she has for the treasure, because then we will buy something. You buy a new car, fathers and mothers. And what do? You lock it. Why? Well, you don't want anyone to steal it. And thus, you take measures to protect your treasures. And now the Lord says that also of his church, that he commends her here for an armory, that she is taking measures to protect those blessings that he has given unto her. And when she is keeping such an armory, then she shows that those blessings are very precious unto her, very valuable to her. The devil is always ready to rob. Is always ready to steal what the Lord is giving unto his church. And it is the most slothful of the true church, the most slothful ones are the ones that are losing the benefits the easiest when they are not keeping that armory. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory. So the neck, that is what connects our body and our head. And now who is the head of the church? That is Christ. The Apostle Paul says Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Thus Christ is the head. And the church is the body. And now Solomon here speaks about what is connecting those two. Thus, what is it that connects Christ, that joins Christ? How is Christ joined unto his people? Well, you say he's joined by faith. That is right. So there is something in this neck that is representative of faith. That which is joining the body to the head. That which is joining in a spiritual way Christ unto his church. But Solomon says here, it is like the tower of David builded for an armory. Thus, he is speaking about weapons of war, that is for that militant church. Thus, we find that that warfare is a warfare that must be fought by faith. And now that faith in exercise that is compared here to a neck, not to a neck that is bowed over, but to a neck that is like a tower. That neck that is standing up straight. A neck that is going forward, that is standing up, and that is going in courage. I think that is the way David looked, right, boys and girls? When he went to fight Goliath, then he was not bowed over. But David went standing up straight, in faith to fight that mighty giant. Now, who are the enemies? You say Goliath. Yes, Goliath was an enemy. Who are the enemies of the church of God who must be fought? Well, you say that is the devil. That is right. That who was in Goliath. That was nothing but a man of the devil. So we have the devil, then we have the world, that is called an enemy also in God's word, and then we have the sin that is living within that heart, that is the sin that is living within the flesh. The Apostle Paul complained of the sin that was in his flesh. Thus a triple-headed enemy. How does the church fight, make war against that enemy? Do you know that? Are you in that war? as that now the choice of your heart. David says, how love I thy law, that is that whole word, and that includes the law, that holy law, moral law of God, all the precepts. Thus, how do we fight? Are we part of that church militant? Well, the way, the manner that a man is fighting, if the Lord brings him into that church militant, is changing. Because first, you have a new recruit into that army. And now that new recruit, and when he is first coming in that army, he is full of what? He is full of zeal. Full of zeal. But what is lacking? You say experience, knowledge. And where does that zeal come from? If the Lord gives a new heart, then we are full of zeal from the Lord. That is all good. That is all from Him. But now there is, in that warfare, so much to learn. Because such a young recruit, he goes forth in his own strength. He has his own wisdom, and he thinks that he is going to overtake that enemy in a certain way. And now he has to experience, he has to learn something. What does he need to learn? Well, he needs to learn how strong that enemy is. Where does he learn that? He learns that in the middle of the battle. He learns that when he goes to fight that enemy. And then he has to learn something else. He has to learn how weak that he is. He has to learn that actually he is no match for that enemy. Oh, he has a heart that is upright. That is a heart that has been renewed, that is given unto him from the Lord. But he has yet to lose the battle. He has yet to experience that battle. And he has yet to find out by experience that actually he has no might to fight against that great company that cometh against him. Oh, that zeal that is going forward with such beauty when we see that in a young recruit. Oh, then we see as such a young man actually within himself, he is being broken down, isn't he? Then he has to be instructed in the reality of that warfare. Were you ever instructed in that? Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That is now going to be the experience of every single one of those new recruits in that church militant. Will the Lord let them perish? Never. The Lord is watching over that people that is his own. But they are going to experience something that if they have to fight in their own strength, then they are going to have to perish. Congregation, did we ever come to an end of that? Oh, did we ever experience in the midst of that battle that this is an impossible way? Oh, that there is no might and that there is no power. Did you ever experience something about that curse of that law? That there is not one sin that is permitted. That there is not even a thought that is permitted. Oh, not the least sin. And when I will keep that law with perfection, which I cannot do, the whole rest of my life, then everything that is behind me, all that still testifies against me. Oh, what we have to experience as as a new recruit in that army of that church militant. And when we will experience that, what then do we begin to see? The impossibility. We begin to see that if there is no way that is outside of myself, that this battle that is going to end in a complete defeat. Oh, was there ever room? Was there ever room made in your heart for the mediator? Was there ever room made in your heart for a savior? For one who can take up that battle for you? For one who can get the victory in that battle? Oh, we need to come to that place where we feel that need, where we experience that impossibility, and where he is also revealed unto us. Because what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Shall find it. They don't see it when they have to lose their life. But there is no question that people shall find it. Does it go wrong? Does it go down? Does it become more and more impossible? Oh, then it will become completely impossible. Oh, then you shall find it. You say, I am there. Oh, the Lord knows when we are there. We are always in a hurry, but the Lord is not in a hurry. But the Lord will do a thorough work in the life of his own people. And then you know what the Lord does? Oh, then the Lord reveals something. Then he reveals the captain of their salvation. Then he reveals unto them him who has already fought that battle. Oh, then they may see something of him. And what does that now do, do you think, in their heart? Oh, then they receive faith. Oh, then they receive an eye to look upon him. And that congregation is now such a wonder. Such a wonder. Oh, then they can say to that enemy, oh, enemy, do not rejoice over me. Because when I fall, then I shall arise. Oh, they see that victory is in him. Oh, then that enemy is already vanquished. When I shall sit in darkness, oh, then the Lord shall be a light unto me. Oh, that is the power. That is the power of faith that the Lord gives to look upon that captain of their salvation. Who has bruised that head of the devil. When the devil has bruised his heel. When he has bruised that head upon the cross. When he has taken away all his power over that church of God. Oh, then that faith is given the power to behold the foundation of the destruction of that enemy. Then they see. Wherein that enemy's power has been taken away. That is the very root of it. And that the very head of the devil has already been destroyed. That it is a warfare that is accomplished already for that church. That their iniquity is pardoned. And that there is nothing but double to be received by that church for all of her sins. Oh, does that warfare cease then? Does that warfare cease then? When that way is open to that people. When faith may go out to this captain of their salvation. No, then that warfare is not done. Then they remain in that church militant here below. But we say that warfare changes. Warfare changes. How does that warfare change? Well, that is now a soldier who understands something. And because he understands something and has experienced something, that is his own weakness, that is that impossibility, or then it is a soldier who is no longer fighting with his own strength. It is a soldier who is fighting that battle with the strength of that cross of Calvary. And that is the first beginning of that people experiencing victory. Experiencing victory in the battle with the spiritual enemies. There is no other way to vanquish that triple-headed enemy. But faith finds a great power in the cross to destroy every enemy that tries to come against him. David could not wield a sword in that youthful hand of his. But he had learned in his youth to fight a spiritual fight, a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. And he said to that enemy, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied." That is now the way that David went, with his neck up straight. That is why David did not fear, though he was a weak man, though he came only with a sling and a stone. David did not depend upon his strength. No, David went in the strength of the Lord God. That is now the warfare of faith that was so lacking in Israel, that was so lacking in that godless king, that King Saul. But David has destroyed that enemy by faith. And now that warfare that is fought on this foundation, that is a changed warfare. You understand that. That is not just a young recruit anymore. That is now a man who has been somewhat seasoned, hasn't he? He has been through a few battles, hasn't he? He has lost a few battles, hasn't he? He has learned where the power is. He has learned where the strength is. And he has been given a taught by the Lord how to use those weapons of war. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory that is standing straight and tall in that warfare. Oh, that cross. That cross that is giving courage, such courage, against Satan. That cross is giving such courage against every enemy that can come against that church. Why? Because faith sees power in it. Faith is not afraid anymore. Because though they be weak, the Lord is strong. Because though they have no power, oh, the power of that blood to forgive and to wipe away and to cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. That is now what faith may behold when it may now be given by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And that is now giving confidence, confidence unto that church. We can read sometimes of the enemies that are vanquished, that the victor he will put their feet, they will put their feet upon the necks of their enemies. And now what does Christ say of that church? He speaks of that neck as an armory. And that is standing straight and tall, that is not laid flat, no. No, because never will the devil be given that opportunity to put his feet upon the neck of the church. And when they are taught to use the weapons of warfare that the Lord has given unto them. And what are they? Let us sing first. 202, 1 and 3. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. My soul with thy counsel through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory abide. 1 and 3 of 202.
Thank you.
Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Our second thought is the 1,000 bucklers. They are the weapons that we read of. In the armory of this church militant, bucklers. So what is a buckler? Well, that is just a little shield. So they had large shields, and large shield was attached. It was worn on the arm. But a buckler was just a small shield, and that small shield had a handle behind it that was just held in the hand. So that was not very useful for arrows that were shot from a long distance. But that buckler was a shield, a small shield that was used in hand-to-hand combat. Thus we say, in very close combat. Bucklers and shields, they are weapons of defense, not of offense. What kind of war does the church fight? That is, for the most part, a war of defense against attacks. Paul speaks about the sword of the Spirit, speaks about the Word of God. But then he speaks about all these defensive weapons, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet, he says, of salvation, and the shield of faith. Thus the shield of faith, that is what Solomon is now speaking about. That word of God is one. That word of God has one author, one inspiring author. Whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers. That number is large. That means many, many bucklers, a great number of bucklers. And all shields, it says, of mighty men. Thus these are the weapons of the most experienced of the church. They are the weapons that the experienced ones are choosing. The shields of the mighty men. Excellent weapons. Effective weapons. Thus those bucklers, they are the chief choices of defense for that church that is the experienced militant church that has fought for a long season in many battles. And you say, what are those bucklers? Oh, there are so many of them. We read there are 1,000 bucklers, many, many of them. We cannot speak about all of them. What are some examples of those bucklers? Well, we have a buckler in the attributes of God. That is for defense of the church. In the works of God. In the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, for example. In the promises of God in Christ. That are for his church. These are bucklers. Sufficient for the defense against every enemy, every spiritual enemy that is attacking that church. The great storehouse of them. They are reserved for the use of that militant church. They have no other defenses. These are now the only ones that they experience have any power, have any effect of that on that enemy. And they are for that church then of great use for faith, to ward off discouragements, to ward off temptations, to ward off every attack that is seeking to destroy that spiritual life. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. calls them fiery darts. They are fiery. William Gurnall speaks about two kinds of fiery darts. What are they? The first are pleasurable temptations that Satan is attacking the church with. That is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, everything that is sensual, everything that is carnal. Satan attacking, fiery. Is that fiery? Do you ever experience those attacks as fiery, young people? When Satan shows you, like he showed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shows you all the kingdoms of the world. He says, these will I give you if you will only bow down to me. Is that fiery? You say, yes, that is fiery. And why is that fiery? Because of what lives in my heart. Because my heart desires all those kingdoms of the world. And if my heart did not desire them, then there would not be such a fiery dart. Oh, thus, Solomon says, where no wood is, the fire goes out. But our heart, that is like a tinder box. And you get a little spark in our heart that is full of iniquity. Oh, fiery darts. Satan is tempting. That is his crime. But our heart is yearning. That is our crime. Thus the apostle says in God's word that we are drawn away by our own lusts. Fiery darts. Who can stand that? Who can stand all those pleasurable temptations of the prince of darkness? No one can. If we don't go to the length of sinning with our body, we have done it already in our mind. When we have lusted in our mind, and we have already condemned ourselves and shown what that disposition of our heart is, you say, how did Joseph stand against those lustful temptations of that wife of Potiphar? That was not an arrow that was shot from far away. That was a hand-to-hand combat. And when no one of his family and no one of his friends are around, and it has nothing to do with the appearance of men. And how now did Joseph stand against it? He had a buckler. He had a buckler. And what was the buckler? That was the tender fear of God that lived in his heart. Faith. Faith that the Lord had planted in his heart, boys and girls, young people. The Lord had planted it in his heart when he was young, very young. Oh, is that not such a blessing? What kind of iniquity? What kind of sin that we will never have to be sorry for not committing in our life will we be kept from if we may receive the tender fear of God in our heart, in our youth? And how now did that buckler operate? That buckler of the tender fear of God. Well, it opened his eyes that he could see completely through the covering that Satan is putting over that sin. Satan makes that sin to look so beautiful. Satan says that shall make you happy. And that tender fear of God looks right through that covering that Satan is putting over it. And it sees the reality. It says that sin will bring you into death. that sin will destroy you. Oh, you see how that buckler is then functioning. That buckler gives Joseph to call that sin by its right name, by its real name, wickedness before God. Shield of faith. But now Solomon says there are 1,000 of them. Thus, that is only one of them. And now, why do we need 1,000 of those bucklers? Well, because there are 1,000 enemies. And so you need a buckler for every enemy that will come to attack. And if a man is given as Joseph to be able to use that buckler, so that those pleasurable temptations are deflected by that shield, then Satan has in his quiver many more arrows that he is ready to shoot. He has them reserved for that church that has these bucklers, that if he cannot get in one place, he will get them somewhere else. Think about Job. Or he has reserved for that church, the devil, arrows, fiery arrows, which are terrifying. You can read that in Job. The devil will set before a man the greatness of his sin. He will set before a man the multitude of his sin. He will set before a man the special evil of his sin. He will set before him all his inconsistencies. He will show him, line them all up, all the shortcomings of his life. Or he will drive him, try to drive him to discouragement. He will try to drive him to despair, to show to him all that secret evil that is living in his heart. Then he will not obey him. And when he will not fall for those temptations, then he shows him and he says, you, a child of the Lord, what do you think? Was any one of the true children of the Lord living upon this earth that has such a wicked heart, that has such wicked thoughts, as come up in your mind? Your sin is greater than it can be forgiven. But there is a buckler. And what is that buckler? When the Lord Jesus was tried, when he was tempted, the Lord Jesus said to the devil, he said, it is written. It is written. And now that people, they learn to use that buckler. Why? Because they have experienced such a power in that holy word of God by the Spirit of the Lord that they know the effectiveness of that word. And then when the devil is coming and when all those accusations are coming, oh, then they are going back unto that word of God, and they are pointing to that word of God. And they are saying, it is not true, devil, because it says in the word of God that where grace abounded, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So that devil, he is pointing to the multitude of the iniquity of the people. And faith is showing unto that devil, coming back with that buckler, pointing to the infinitude of God, the greatness of God, the greatness of that sacrifice. Oh, that ocean of blood And so the arrow, that fiery arrow of that prince of darkness, cannot come close to that people. Oh, Satan is cruel. A most cruel enemy, making suggestions. Oh, coming up. Does he ever come up with suggestions in your heart? And what does he say to you? He says, maybe even to you, maybe he even goes right to the bottom. He goes right to the root. He says, men, you are wrong. There is no God. There is no God. Does he ever say that to you? People of the Lord, after all the things, after all the things, maybe many, and you have spoken of them, and does the devil yet come sometimes with such a wicked suggestion in your mind to make you feel so wretched and so polluted that such a thing could ever come up into my mind, into my heart, that God does not even exist? Oh, what a frightening thing that can be for God's people. Some plagued with such suggestions day by day, ashamed of them, so that they do not say it. No one knows it, because they are so ashamed, or maybe sometimes blasphemous thought to torment that people. Is it welcome? No. No, it is not welcome. That is an awful strife. Like Job's wife. Is she ever there? Is she ever there? In whatever affliction you are given. Oh, just that suggestion. Curse God and die. Throw it all away. There is nothing so awful about all the suffering of Job as what his wife said to him in the bottom of that pit. Now there are bucklers. There are bucklers for that church. They are laid up in that armory. Like what you say. Oh, in the first place, it is a warfare. It is warfare. And that is the experience of that people. It is the consciousness of that people. It is a consciousness that it is unwelcome. That they are very hateful interjections. Oh, they feel that they are arrows. They feel that they are fiery arrows. But they grieve under those arrows. Those arrows are to them enemies at which their soul is attempting to hide. Oh, when all the captains of the enemy, they surrounded Jehoshaphat. And what did Jehoshaphat do? We read, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And the Lord heard him. And those enemies departed from him. Oh, there is also persistence. when it is going on for a long time. You say the longer it goes on, the worse it becomes. Oh, it is a torment, can be a torment. But do you know what Job said? Job said in all his afflictions, because the devil says, you are a hypocrite, Job. You are a hypocrite. And now Job finally said back, he says, now shall that hypocrite always call upon God? Always? Shall he continue? Or will he not finally leave it? And thus, even the gifts, the benefits that the Lord is giving unto his church, that is the perseverance of the saints, as a gift of God, ask the people. But even those gifts are bucklers. Congregation, there is so much more. There are thousands of them. Thus, these are only a few of those arrows. These are only a few of those bucklers. But now laying up those bucklers and the use of those bucklers, that is now a beauty. It is the beauty of the church of Christ. Christ is looking upon his bride. And then he commends that neck. That neck like the Tower of David, wherein there are 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Oh, he delights to see his people skillful in the warfare. Skillful in the warfare, not to go back to those weapons that have no might against that enemy, but now to use those weapons that he has given unto his own people. David says, he teaches my hands to war, and he teaches my fingers to fight, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me, he says, the shield of thy salvation. A little while longer, church of God, and that war is going to be over. That is a sure end. That is a certain end. Because that victory has already been accomplished for those who do not have their own weapons. For those who do not have their own strength. And then that church militant shall become the church triumphant, a congregation. Are we now in that warfare? Do we hear it sometimes, our own life, in the warfare with that triple-headed enemy? If it never begins in our life, that warfare, then we will never have our place amongst that church triumphant. Oh, the Lord, give to us a realization of the reality of our life, that we are traveling to a never-ending eternity, that there is a kingdom of God, that there is a kingdom of the devil, that these are forever in opposition to one another, that we are either in the one or that we are in the other. The Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us that choice of a renewed soul that signs up for the war as a volunteer with a desire never to sin again? And then there will be many disappointments, but there will also be a great rejoicing. There will be a sure victory for that people. Oh, give that we may desire, even in the days of our youth, to be numbered among them. Forgive and take away our many sins. Bring us safely to our places and be with us in the rest of this thy holy day. Give us to keep thy day holy and remember us in this week and all the work of our hands also as a consistory tomorrow evening. Help us in our meeting, the confession class, and all the labors in the midst of the church, the fathers to support their families. Wilt thou bless all the labors of their hands and help all that have suffered losses also in disasters, in fires, in floods here and all over the world. Care for the needy. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 212, all the stanzas. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart, by night recalled my song. All the stanzas of Psalter 212. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.